It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast
with Al and Brian.
Anytime we can have somebody on that I've been following for a while and haven't had a chance to talk to, I'm excited. And we have from Chat Sports, he's hosting the 49ers Report, Chase Senior on. Again, he's doing a great job. If you haven't checked out his stuff, go on YouTube and check it out. He does just a phenomenal job covering this team. Chase, thanks for being here, man.
Al, I've been following you for a really long time, and I said before we got started, it's good to meet you virtually, and it's good to connect, chop it up, and talk some Niners here. I'm pumped up that I'm able to hop on this show, and when you reached out to me, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's talk.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what took us so long, but you know, we're here now and we can talk Niners now. And I know that you just got back from the combine. I know you were there and covering it. What was that experience like to be there and actually cover it in the stadium?
Yeah, it was incredible because I've been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, and the Super Bowl is just a completely different, pressure-packed, hectic environment where there's so many people, there are media outlets from all across the world. And I'd say the setup of Radio Row is about 4x what it was for the NFL scout and combine. And because it's in the lead up to the game, there's a lot of pressure. And it's a who's who of media figures there, from Colin Cowherd to Pat McAfee to Stephen A. Smith walking around to Bert Kreischer. It's a lot more of an entertainment type of event. And then I go to the scout and combine for the first time this year in Indianapolis. It's a completely different vibe. From the NFL standpoint, all of the coaches are much more relaxed because everybody is starting at 0-0 on the record. And there's newfound hope that they're going to be able to either turn things around in 2024 and this upcoming season, or they're going to be able to rebound from a heartbreaking loss, like let's say the Niners had in the Super Bowl. You're just looking ahead to the new year because the previous season is behind you. And Radio Row is a lot smaller, but it's almost like a networking job conference at the NFL Combine where media members, you have an opportunity to kind of chop it up in more of a smaller setting where you can have more in-depth conversations a little bit. There's not always a place to go, and it's just not involving the craziness that is the Super Bowl. So I liked how it was intimate. And it was really cool to be able to talk and interview to all these draft prospects, because you're looking at some of these players on the podiums and you're like, wow, a 40-yard dash potentially is going to make Xavier Worthy several more million dollars than maybe he was projected to get going into combine week. If a defensive lineman was projected to go in the fourth round, but he runs a fast 40-yard dash, or a tight end was going to be a six-round pick, but then he runs a 4-5, he could be a top 100 guy. And it's crazy to talk with these athletes knowing the opportunity that they have both financially and in their football life to take that next step following their college career and to go into the big boy leagues of the NFL. It's a very, very cool experience.
When you were watching it, watching the workouts, or just the buzz that you heard there, what position groups stood out in terms of guys coming out of the draft? Coming into the draft, I should say.
This is such an incredibly deep wide receiver class. And because of that, I think there's going to be such good wide receiver talent on the board in the first, second, and third rounds that teams aren't going to be able to help themselves. And that includes San Francisco. And obviously, the future of Brandon Ayuk, the future of Deebo Samuel and Juwan Jennings is going to come into play here. But if they're thinking about trading Deebo, not being able to retain Ayuk because he's going to want north of $25 million. If they need a replacement, and I don't think that they're going to move off of Ayuk or Deebo, but if they need a replacement, this wide receiver class is so deep that they're going to be able to find a really, really quality player. And for other teams across the NFL, they might have more glaring needs, but how do you turn down an Xavier Worthy when he runs a 4-2-1? How do you not give into the temptation of drafting a Brian Thomas, who's big and ran fast, or in the second round, Xavier Leggett, who really broke out in 2023, who is like 6'2", 220 pounds, and he ran a low 4.4 40-yard dash. So wide receiver is really deep, and I think that this is something that's been developing over the last couple of years where it might get to a point where why are teams going to pay a Justin Jefferson $30 million per year.
100%.
When in the draft every single year, you're paying these wide receivers $5 million under their rookie contract for the next 4 or 5 years at a fraction of the price, yet you're still getting some really good production. And look at a team like Minnesota. They moved off of Stephon Diggs and got Justin Jefferson. What if they move off of Justin Jefferson knowing that Jordan Addison just had more than 1,000 yards this past year and a lot of touchdowns somewhere in that realm? So I think it could change the team building strategy at the wide receiver spot. Other position groups that are deep, we've been talking about the Niners offensive line for a long time on my show. I know you have as well. It's a huge need. I think the Niners have gotten exposed in the trenches the last 2 years in the biggest games. They got exposed by Dallas in the divisional round in 2022, then by Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, then against Kansas City in the Super Bowl. If they're looking for an interior offensive lineman or an offensive tackle, some of these tackles specifically were built in a lab where you have some of these cats running 5 second 40-yard dashes at 330 pounds. They're so gifted. They're also really good scheme fits because a lot of them at the college level are running zone concepts. Kyle Shanahan likes to run a zone concept. So these tackles and these guards and these centers are required to get out in space on some of those pull blocks. And just imagine you're a DB who's weighing in at 180 pounds and you see a guy like Kingsley Suamata-Ia at a BYU who's 330 pounds. He ran a 5 second 40-yard dash and he's going to block you on a pull block. That's terrifying. So offensive line, wide receiver, very deep position groups.
Dude, you hit on so much in what you were just saying of the things that have been going through my head about the 49ers as we move forward here. And I think, Chase, I think this offseason is one like we haven't seen in a while. And it's so huge for them because, yeah, they're going to try to run it back for the most part. There may be a surprise. Maybe somebody gets moved. Who knows? For the most part, they're going to run it back with the guys that they have. At the same time, they have to retool for 2025 where some of these guys are ready to hit the ground running when they do move on from an Armstead, possibly a Debo, a Hargrave and things and people like that. So the first thing I want to get into, you brought up a great point with the wide receivers. And I've been thinking about this too. I saw Mike Evans sign his deal. It was 2 years, $56 million, whatever it was. And I think the really elite guys are going to get paid. I think Justin Jefferson's going to get paid. I think Jamar Chase will get paid. I think Brandon Ayuk will get paid. I think these guys will get paid, whether it's by their team or someone else. But for the 49ers, there's no way in hell they're paying two wide receivers $50 million combined in 2025. So can they sign Ayuk now? You get a low cap hit for 2024. You pay Debo the big money. And then you move forward maybe without Debo in 2025. But you brought up a great point. Can you see the Niners maybe saying, all right, we're going to bring in two wide receivers in this draft, knowing Debo's gone in 2025, and kind of get those guys up to speed and maybe take a wide receiver higher than we're expecting?
Yeah, and I talked about that idea on my show. And look, I know fans get bent out of shape by these conversations, but especially on my show, I try to have conversations that are going to inform people and conversations that are insightful, but are also thought-provoking, right? And conversations that front offices are realistically having. And the Niners are looking at their wide receiver room and all of this talent in the last couple of drafts, and they're like, is it team building malpractice to have two wide receivers who are combining to make $50 million? So I think a realistic possibility here is if the Niners go offensive tackle, let's say at 31, and by the way, Xavier Worthy at 31 would not shock me to have a burner and a vertical threat to not let him go to Kansas City at 31. Wouldn't shock me at all. But let's just say the Niners go offensive tackle at 31. And in the second round, they address wide receiver. And they bring in a player who maybe isn't going to be a high-end impact guy in year one, but this is all by design as they have the foresight to look ahead and say, we're going to give Brandon Ayuk his contract extension. And to the casual fan who isn't going to look at the books, you might say, well, we're paying two wide receivers $50 million. No, because in reality, we're going to trade Debo Samuel going into 2025. And then Brandon Ayuk's contract extension is going to kick in. And then we avoid having to pay two wide receivers $50 million. We let go of Debo Samuel. Let's say we bring back Juwan Jennings on a multi-year deal. He's just not going to make all that much money. We're paying Ayuk. We have Juwan Jennings. And then that wide receiver in year two, he steps into the fold and he becomes the number two to Brandon Ayuk, who already is the Niners' number one. And then you avoid that dreaded scenario in which you're investing too much money at the wide receiver spot with two guys that you know, $24, $25 million. Because lastly, before I throw it back to you, if you're Brandon Ayuk, you're saying, well, hold on. I'm a second team All-Pro. I'm a better pure wide receiver than Debo. I'm treated as if I'm the number one wide receiver on this team. And by the way, I am. Debo's making 24. Why should I not be making more than him? And I think that he has a case to be made at the negotiating table.
Yeah, and I always tell people on the show, too, you have to take off the red and gold colored glasses sometimes. And people get pissed at me, too, because I tend to be pretty honest and blunt with what I think. It's not that I don't like Debo. Again, you're just looking at reality. They're probably having these conversations. He makes a ton of money. He doesn't do Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson production. You know, he's a different kind of player, but he's banged up. It's probably his last season. Unless they retool some stuff or whatever, it's probably last season. I know people get pissed when you say that sometimes, but it's reality, man. You brought up the offensive line. I think they need a tackle, too. They probably need two because Trent Williams, you know, maybe there's a year or two left, and they definitely need a right tackle and somebody to eventually take over for Williams. But Brock Purdy is their quarterback. And you kind of look at the way that the Saints built their team. They were very strong up the middle with Drew Brees, who was a smaller guy like Purdy is. And you brought up them. It's another thing I've been talking about forever is in the last year in the playoffs, we've seen this team get pushed around on the offensive line. And there are a million plays, million reasons why they lost the Super Bowl, you know, countless, I should say, those two Super Bowls. But two plays that stick out to me, 2019, when Chris Jones got pushed, I think it was on Mike Pearson, knocks the ball down, interior offensive line. In this past, obviously, we know in overtime when Burford picks up the wrong guy, again, at the guard position. So that's very important for the Niners. But you have Aaron Banks, you have Jake Brendel, who's 33, but I don't know that he's going anywhere. And then that right guard position is a little iffy, I guess. Do you think they're going to address the interior, or do you think this team just is like, ah, we can piece that together and we're better off addressing bookends?
Yeah, one thing I've seen is if they drop the tackle at 31, they move Colton McKivitz to right guard, and maybe he's better suited there because he just doesn't have the physicality or the quickness to play against some of the top-tier edge rushers in the NFL. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought back a John Feliciano at about $3 to $5 million per year. I thought that he was a really good bargain basement type of deal for San Francisco because he stepped in well for Aaron Banks. He then took over for Spencer Burford and also stepped in for him when he was injured. He also has center flexibility too. So that wouldn't surprise me either. But Graham Barton is a player out of Duke where if he falls to 31, he's just simply too good of a player to pass up on. And that's a player who has shorter arms. The Niners as an organization, they like tackles with longer arms. So they might look at him as a guard, but he can play right tackle. He played a lot of left tackle for Duke last year. He played center as well. And I think that positional versatility always helps you out as an offensive lineman. And it makes you more valuable because as a rookie, you want me to play center? Fine, I've done it. You want me to play left tackle? I can do that. Right tackle? Shoot, I can give it a go there. Graham Barton has a nasty streak to him. And in talking to him, I was just so impressed with how intelligent, well-spoken, leadership qualities, everything that he brings to the table, but him just being able to pancake guys and just be a relentless player. So if he falls to 31, I like him there. But why I think the Niners might go offensive tackle at 31 or offensive line in general, just all of the players that they held formal meetings with. And they're all very notable players. Javon Foster, Adam Mizzou, Christian Jones out of Texas. They met with him at the Senior Bowl. Talese Fuag out of Oregon State. He's not going to last until 31. That would require a trade-up, but they checked in on him at the Senior Bowl. They had a formal meeting with Graham Barton. Kingsley Suamata-Ia out of BYU, formal meeting at the Combine. And then they had formals with Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, who can play tackle or guard. Amarius Mims out of Georgia, who is 6'7", 340, only 8 starts to his name, but he's just a freak athlete. J.C. Latham can play tackle or guard, and then Patrick Paul out of Houston. All of those players they had formal meetings with. So, again, it's a deep class to need offensive line help in and be able to draft a player that can step in right from the jump and help this offense out at a position group where they desperately need it.
The other position group I'm worried about is the defensive line. And you know Bosa's there. Hargrave's in his early 30s. Armstead's going into his 10th year, and those guys are in the last year of their deal. And you go beyond that, there's really nothing there. They didn't do a good job addressing the opposite defensive end, opposite Bosa last year, and they tried to bring in Chase Young. That didn't really work out. They need help stopping the run. They need interior guys. Maybe they can bring Kinlaw back on, you know, a short-term deal or low-money deal or something like that. How worried are you about this D-line, and how much do you think they need to address it this offseason?
Yeah, they met with a lot of defensive linemen, both on the edge but along the interior too. And McKinley Jackson, I think, is a name to keep an eye out for from Texas A&M. He's really big, really stout, really physical. The Niners had a formal meeting with him, and they did their due diligence on defensive tackles. That is a position group that I'm a little bit concerned about. I think Javon Kinlaw might get a bag from another team, so he might walk in free agency. So already there, that hurts your defensive tackle depth. But after Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead, you're right. Like, they don't have a lot of defensive tackle depth, and they could use an influx of youth talent there at that position, especially to help out in the run game. Like, they went from the number one overall rushing defense all the way to 26th this past year. And I think a big reason for that is that Javon Hargrave, he's a really good pass rushing defensive tackle, but with Philadelphia, with Pittsburgh, he was not good against the run. Now, funny enough, he was good in the Super Bowl against the run, but he's just historically not been good against the run game as a defensive tackle. So I think you need to bring in some young players. I think the Niners the last couple of years, they've kind of missed like the DJ Jones type of player who they could put behind an Eric Armstead on the interior, and he could push the pocket from a pass rush standpoint, or he could really push the pocket and make some plays happen against the run game as well.